In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're moving on in this series we're calling Preaching in Adversity. I don't think I have to convince you that there are adverse forces blocking the adherence to God, the understanding of Christianity, even among our own people. And so this is to give us an understanding of where this comes from so that we know better how to help our people with it. The mind of modern man, especially of modern American man, but not only, European as well, is soaked in atheism, even if they don't buy it, you see? So I'm going to take the analysis of the modern world as it's found in a section of the document, Gaudium et Spes, The Church and the Modern World. I'm starting with number 19. I'm going to read and comment on it. All right, it starts, "The root reason for human dignity lies in man's call to communion with God." That's human dignity. Yes, he can use his reason, he can do, but the dignity of man is so much greater than all of those. He's called to spend eternity with God, enjoying God, being with God, being overwhelmed by God's love. That's man's dignity, you see. From the very circumstance of his origin, man is already invited to converse with God. Even long before God spoke to Abraham, human beings were searching for something, someone greater they knew. You see? And so, as Paul says when he's making that speech in Athens, they groped after him. Okay. "For man would not exist were he not created by God's love and constantly preserved by it. And he cannot live fully according to truth unless he freely acknowledges that love and devotes himself to his Creator." Still, many of our contemporaries have never recognized this intimate and vital link with God or have explicitly rejected it. Thus, atheism must be accounted among the most serious problems of this age and is deserving of closer examination. We, who preach to our own people, have to clarify this issue, because our people may be going to church on Sunday, but then their minds are soaked in the total atheism of 80-90% of what's on the television. It's not that it's all overtly denying God, it's just that it never adverts to God and keeps us fixed. Perfect example, of course, is the news. Everybody's glued to the television watching the latest news. Do they ever think of God's providence? Do they ever pray? Certainly, you don't expect the news broadcast, "All right, everybody, we're going to take 30 seconds for prayer before I give you the next bad news." Be nice, but they will never do that. But we have to put this into the context of reality, and we who preach have to help our people do that. You see, this is certainly one of the key reasons why we are considering this question of preaching in times of adversity. Okay. So that paragraph concludes, "Thus atheism must be accounted among the most serious problems of this age and is deserving of closer examination." Now, as we move on, we're going to see there's different kinds of atheists. People have thought it all out. People will never think about it at all. But they're both atheists in practice, at least. Okay. The word atheism, as our text says, is applied to phenomena which are quite distinct from one another. For, while God is expressly denied by some, others believe that man can assert absolutely nothing about him. There might be a God, but it's not going to impact my life, you know. It doesn't make any difference. If you're good to people, that's enough, you see? And do you see what that does to deny dignity? We are preaching to help people recover their dignity so that they can pass it on to their children. Okay. Still others, some say there might be a God, but nobody knows, and so, you know, it's not important. Still others use a method to scrutinize the question of God as to make it seem devoid of meaning. For instance, many unduly transgression the limits of the positive sciences, contend that everything can be explained by this kind of scientific reasoning alone, or by contrast, they altogether disallow that there is any absolute truth. Now, you may remember the last time we were doing one of these, I spoke about that, and that trajectory of it doesn't matter. Nobody can know anyway, you see? And then, some praise man so extravagantly that their faith in God lapses into a kind of anemia, though they seem more inclined to affirm man than to deny God, you know, which is a lot of American culture. We don't say there's no God. We say, well, look, we got all these things we got to invent, things we got to do, poor we got to take care of. The God question is just not relevant. What kind of a God would not be relevant? He wouldn't be God. Again, some form for themselves such a fallacious, false idea of God that when they repudiate this figment, they are by no means rejecting the God of the gospel. If you got your own idea who God is, he's a big monster, you know, looking just how to punish people, well, then you're not denying God, because that's not God. Our job is to preach the loving, true, glorious, radiant God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Some never get to the point of raising questions about God, since they seem to experience no religious stirrings, nor do they see why they should trouble themselves about religion. If you sit on a bus and you start to talk, or a plane, and start to talk about religion, a lot of times the person's going, look, that's a non-question. You know, it's just a non-question. What a cop-out. It's a non-question if we're going to live forever, but it's not a non-question if we're going to die. And so, atheism results not really from a violent protest against the evil in this world, or from the absolute character with which certain human values are unduly invested, and which thereby already accords them the stature of God. If there's a God, why does he let all this go on? You see, there can't be a God. Now, if I don't want there to be a God, that's a good argument. Except, God could change it by taking away your freedom. Would you like that? He could scare the wits out of you. He could force you. Is that God? No, God wants a love response. And therefore, he wants an earnest search. And we should help one another find that search, you see? And then, modern civilization itself often complicates the approach to God, not for any essential reason, but because it is so heavily engrossed in earthly affairs. I just don't have time. Talk to my wife about that. You know, I'm too busy. I got a business to run. You know, I've got friends I got to see. I got, you know, my profession. Just get somebody else to think about that. That's because of the fascination. Huh? There's a text in the old Latin Vulgate. It's in the Book of Wisdom. Fascinatio nugatitatis obscurat bonum. Fascination with trifles obscures the good. And I could find it if I took my time, but I didn't. Undeniably, those who willfully shut out God from their hearts and try to dodge religious questions are not following the dictates of their own consciences. And then, so far, they're not free of blame. That's one part of it, right? People get mad when you talk about God. They don't get mad if you talk about a duck-billed platypus, or they don't get mad if you talk about the possible existence of dinosaurs. because there's no consequences. But if there's a God, there are consequences. So keep it out of my mind. Keep it out of my conscience. Keep it out of my mind. You see? That's what's going on. That's willfully shut out God and try to dodge the question. For taken as a whole, atheism is not a spontaneous development, but stems from a variety of causes, including a critical reaction against religious beliefs, and in some places, against the Christian religion in particular. Sometimes it's our fault. But when people say that, you know, well, I mean, if you people were any better, and I say, look, you're not going to get off the hook because I'm bad. You know, you have to change. And if I could help you, that's great. And if I'm so bad I can't, you're still responsible for your own decisions. Now, you don't say that, you know, we're talking about how the preacher, you know, relates, how he gets his people to relate in this world of adversity. For taken as a whole, atheism is not a spontaneous development, but stems from a variety of causes, including a critical reaction against religious beliefs, and in some places, against the Christian religion in particular. And this is the world into which we're preaching and the world into which the minds of our people are soaked. The television, the movies, the conversation, the preoccupations, see, and so forth. And so believers can have more than a little to do with the birth of atheism. And that's pointed out, for instance, in Henri de Lubac's book, The Drama of Atheist Humanism. To the extent that they neglect their own training in the faith, or teach erroneous doctrine, or are deficient in their religious, moral, or social life, they must be said to conceal, rather than reveal, the authentic face of God and religion. The hardest argument for people who want atheism to maintain is a Mother Teresa. What would drive that woman to live that way? Well, she's a nice woman, and she, you know. And I know, you know, people who are like that who don't believe in God. Not to that extent. Not with the impact. So, you see, this is the way that Vatican II, and we're going to start now to look, begin to look, and then we'll take it up after the break, what modern atheism really does. Modern atheism often takes on a systematic expression, which in addition to other causes, stretches the desires for human independence to such a point that it poses difficulty against any dependence on God. Why? If there's no God, I can do what I want. If there is a God, unless I kill somebody and the cops get me, you know? The attraction to having no God is I can do what I want. And unfortunately, that's a strong attraction. But it doesn't lead anywhere. And this is our obligation, is to help our people see this. And so, because people are just saying, you see, those who profess atheism of this sort maintain that it gives man freedom to be an end to himself, who is the sole artisan and creator of his own history. They're confusing their responsibility for radical independence.